Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Teaching the lessons of history, this Saturday marks the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and found it interesting, the Daily Herald interviewed, talked to some suburban teachers about how interested their students are in studying this and then how they teach it. For them, of course, it's only history, not a lived experience. If you're in high school, or a lot of kids in college weren't alive then. And interestingly here, the article starts out by talking about how one Fremd high school teacher they interviewed, Lorianne Frieri, she says she often asks her social studies students which historical event they're most interested in studying. The most popular response is almost always the same, the September 11th terrorist attacks. High school students say, of course, we're not born back then when terrorists struck us 20 years ago. They want to know how the events that occurred before their life started to continue to impact and shape the way their family and community feel. It's shared humanity, was her observation. Carol Marine is also teaching it at DePaul. She's the co-director at the DePaul Center for Journalism, Integrity, and Excellence. We know her as a broadcasting legend. Former colleague I know her as at NBC. We worked together, anchor, investigative reporter, all of the above. One of my heroes. Hey, Carol, how are you doing?
I'm great, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I saw you being interviewed for this, and I thought, what a task. Not only did you live through it yourself and have a very personal experience of surviving that day, but now you are tasked with having to teach students about that. And I wonder your observations with this. I know you feel it's important to do that. How do you do that?
Well, interestingly, in our journalism classes, we don't technically teach it. It certainly comes up. But the very first thing you do on your first class day in September is you walk into, in my case, DePaul University, and say, here are the things you need to know in the event of a fire, a bomb scare, or a terrorist attack. Here's where the nearest stairway is. If you get that alert, you need to not pick up your purse or your coffee cup. You need to head right for the stairs. And that really is an outgrowth of 9/11. And I explained to them why I know the importance of those sort of advisories. If you pick up your coffee cup and you're going down the stairs, one, you're not taking the alert seriously, and two, you can trip and scald somebody and upset the whole evacuation. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things of descending from a skyscraper were reinforced and made even more important by the evacuation of the World Trade Center, where people died in those stairwells. And so that's one of the beginnings of class. It's kind of a sobering conversation to have when you say, welcome to class.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And one that may make it more relatable. I can understand why you do it that way. At what point do you share your own personal story?
You know, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It depends if it seems appropriate or not. One of the things that I've always worried about with 9/11, from the very first interview I ever did on it at CBS to today, is, you know, I don't want to exploit it.
Right.
It isn't, it isn't an accomplishment. There were no heroics involved. I was saved. I was saved by a firefighter and a police officer and another firefighter and an ambulance crew and a bus driver that all got me somewhere down the pipeline back into the CBS studios. And so I'm kind of careful with it, if you know what I mean. I've gone through phases where I felt like I've talked about it enough, and I don't want it to be something that looks like I'm using it. On the other hand, I think that students need to know what 9/11 was and understand or take away from it multiple meanings.
I think that's it. The meaning is what that is so difficult to communicate. What it led to in terms of world events and us recently just pulling out of Afghanistan, which we entered shortly after 9/11, the search for terrorists who had struck us on our own homeland, and that kind of thing. But what is the meaning of what that how that felt to be alive at that time and what it meant for us in terms of a country and not only politics but just the sense of being an American. At that moment in time, you think of all the young men and women who signed up to be in the military or do some sort of service as a result of the way they felt. And I wonder, that must be a challenge to try to communicate it. How do you get to into the meaning, what it means for our country?
As best I can, I guess, is the answer. So, Anna, among the things that I say, and I'm not alone in saying them, is when 9/11 happened, for a brief moment, this divided, politically polarized country, even then, was momentarily united in the shared sense of that awful day and our togetherness. And the world joined with us, friends, allies, as well as enemies. Mm-hmm. And part of the meaning is that was a rare and auspicious moment that we ultimately squandered. We squandered it by reverting again to our polarized corners of the political spectrum. We demonized as a country Muslims because the terrorists were Muslims. We demonized other people because we didn't know if they were Muslims or not, but they might as well be. We did things that we, as Americans, would never argue is something to be proud of. And so I think we lost a great moment in our history of holding hands with each other and the different people who we are, and that's one of the things that I try to talk to students about.
Mike, I hear you on that. I would think if you're 17, 18 years old, you would know nothing but divisiveness if you were on social media as much as those, you know, people that age are, or you look at the world of politics as you describe, but it is not the case of that sort of feeling of the way we all felt as an American, or most of us felt that at that period of you know, that point in history. That was the remarkable thing about how we did all come together. What kinds of questions do they ask you, though, Carol, as you tried to talk about it? What, anything surprise you, or what do you get?
They want to know the mechanics of it. Why was I there? I explained I was there working for 60 Minutes. How did I get in the path of a falling trade tower? And I explained that reporters, not unlike police or fire, run to these kinds of things, not away from them. And I knew that I needed to get down there as fast as I could before police lines closed up around it and we couldn't get close enough as reporters. So I explained some of the mechanisms of that. And then I try to explain what it feels like to run for your life, because I learned a lot in that experience. And what I learned was, you know, Anna, the stories of a mother seeing her son trapped under the wheels of the back end of a car somehow summons the strength, impossible it would seem, mm-hmm. to lift the bumper enough to free him.
Hear it all the time.
I explained that there is a kind of adrenaline overdrive that takes you when you are fighting to survive. And it did for me. I ran faster than I've ever run. I shut down, realized later, all the senses you don't need at that moment, your sense of smell, your sense of taste, your hearing, shuts down in behalf of one thing, which is to flee. So I wasn't looking around. I wasn't an observer in that moment. I don't remember hearing anything. all I remember is running for my life. And so I gained some understanding of what it must be like, even a glimpse of it, to be in combat, to be, whenever you hear a big explosion, you jump because you revert to that moment, mm-hmm. or that whole survival instinct. So 9/11 taught me a lot, but nothing more than what it taught me about the amazing everyday heroism of police and firefighters and paramedics and all of those first responders who, whether it's 9/11 or just a seemingly ordinary day in their life, go to work not knowing if they're going to go home. And to me, I hate the word hero most of the time because I think we've cheapened it and used it for everything when it really is a special word. And I think the special meaning of it for real heroes, for the people who make it their everyday job to risk their life, whether they know that morning that it's going to happen.
Carol, I want to ask you about the state of media, the fragmentation of the media marketplace, but then everything we always hear about the lack of trust in media and journalism. And I know you teach it. You're one of the best ever to do the job. And now you are spending your time teaching students to try to have other scholars out there, journalists who are out there doing the right thing. And do you just have a minute here? Because we got to pause. I want to ask what you think about what we're hearing and seeing in the media world. Carol Marine is with us. She is the legendary broadcaster here in town, but is now over at the DePaul Center for Journalism Integrity and Excellence. She's the co-director over there and talking to students about 9/11, but journalism is what she teaches. Just a couple minutes left here with Carol Marine, and I just didn't want to end before I get your take on what we see. When so often we hear these polls monitoring public sentiment about faith in media, trust in media, and it seems to be on a decline consistently throughout my lifetime. And I just wonder what you see and what you notice and your thoughts on that, Carol.
And my thoughts, Anna, are that it's nothing new. And it goes in various iterations. And yes, there are there's polarization with regard to how people judge the media or which media they select. And too often now, because there are so many choices, you get to kind of pick the flavor of your reporting according to your available bias. Those are the cables, a variety of forms. What encourages me, though, having lived through this and seen it just like you, is that we have so many students, young people, and for us, our students are seniors and graduate students about to leap into the profession. They're not discouraged by this. I mean, they really want to go and be witnesses to history and to be able to be the messengers of what they see. And so they can go home Thanksgiving and an aunt or uncle can say, "Are you nuts? You're going into news. Nobody likes you." But
I think we're below lawyers now. Are we below lawyers? I don't know.
We may. But whether we are or whether we aren't,
right?
This is the greatest profession I can imagine being part of. And we have students who believe the same thing. And so we're going to teach them the tools that they can use, we hope, to do the kind of work that needs to be done. And God forbid, another awful day like 9/11 and the aftermath, that they'll be able to have the wherewithal to report it fairly and honestly and accurately and to survive it.
Yeah, well, that is, I mean, it's quite the calling. They're lucky to have you as a professor, as far as I'm concerned, or teaching. And so DePaul is where you are with the Center for Journalism Integrity and Excellence. Hey, Carol, we've got a vote for you on the text line, 815. Carol Marine for Jeopardy host. Would you ever consider doing that, Carol?
No. When I walked off the broadcast stage after the November 3rd election, I was pretty well resolved that I was done with that and grateful for it, but I've moved on.
Yeah, Yeah, I hear you. Well, we miss you, but I'm glad you check in with me here on WGN and all of us here at GN. And thanks for sharing your thoughts today, Carol.
Well, I always will. Thank you very much, Anna. It was a pleasure.